Great to have your company again, Adelaide. Wednesday already, and the big man, well, I'll tell you what, he's just giving me a heads up, bottom lip little C's, but he's definitely in training mode. Of course, gun for hire coming up this weekend. The Peninsula Pirates are just honestly chomping at the bit to get the great man the gift out there to help them get some victory, get some crowd interaction, and for us, hopefully get some redemption. Hey, big day today, mate. Welcome.
G'day, Luke. G'day, family. Nice to be here on a Wednesday. I can't believe how quick this month's already gone.
It's just going. Hey. Fourth week of school, first term at school.
20th of Feb already.
Flying along. Absolutely flying.
Well, let's focus on the new.
All right. Well, we're going to get a gunfire update. The Hoffs dropped a lovely little drive-by on a few former teammates. Sweet work. The Velvet Sledgehammer, I'm going to call him from now on. Sweet. But we need to talk about drugs, the drug policy. It's all been in the pages and the press in recent time. The watchdog wants in, thinking organised crime. He's barking at the door of the AFL and the players.
Yes, Lou.
And now, on his podcast, former St Kilda coach Grant Thomas, along with, he does that with Sammy Newman and the great Mike Sheehan, put out this massive claim about the St Kilda team that he used to coach from 2001 to 2006.
I would have had suspicion, maybe one or maybe two, but you know what? The worst thing is not longer than a week or so after I finished, one of the players, he told me what had actually been going on, which basically devastated me.
Which is what?
That
quite a significant number.
Rife. A lot of them, and some of the
more than half.
Some of the players that were mentioned just could have dropped.
We're talking your players here.
Yes.
There it is. Huge one. It's caused a big stir in Melbourne. A couple of ex-players who played underground at that time have had to go back. Just for the record, 2006, obviously West Coast Premier over Sydney in a belter.
Yeah.
Adelaide finished second that year. Yeah. Freo, then Sydney, Collingwood, St Kilda finished sixth. Melbourne and Western Bulldogs rounded out the eight. So it's just a massive claim. And again, it's all been opened up because this watchdog wants in on the whole idea of it. It's put into question again the AFL illicit drugs policy. That is being questioned. I'll go as far as to mention Caroline Wilson reckons clubs are now getting the irrits with players using the mental health card and going in and saying they've taken something. That. So it is just getting to a really interesting stage. We're going to talk more about what was said.
Okay.
Tomo backed these claims up on Melbourne Radio this morning. We'll get to that in a moment.
All right. Now, Eddie Betts.
Yeah.
Now, we love Eduardo.
We do.
So
we
two things. Yeah. They reckon he's taken the mark of the year.
Yeah, well, Tex.
Tex.
Put it out there. He said one of the greatest.
When was the last time Tex jumped?
Yeah, got air. Yeah,
good mate, what's his name? Moorcroft.
Yeah, Gary Moorcroft.
For Essendon, that was the best mark I've ever seen.
It ruined his career.
It ruined his career because he nearly touched the lights inside the stadium. Eddie didn't even get off the ground.
Tex clearly hasn't seen any 70s or 80s or even the early 90s when I was on Brereton's head. But
it was a good one, Luke.
Now, the Eddie Betts you speak of, Melbourne paper.
Eduardo.
It says there's nothing that Eddie can't do. And on a footy field, you're absolutely right. There's nothing he can't do.
He's a magician.
But the boys are on the Indigenous camp at the moment. It's getting lots of great press. They've been out here at Lot 100 out in the hills and floating around on our beaches. There's a shot of Eddie playing a cricket shot. And this says there's nothing that he can't do more than capable with a bat during a game of beach cricket down at Point Pierce. For those in the know, just look at the grip.
It's terrible.
Simply look at the grip.
He's got no idea. His footwork's all over the place. His head's not still.
And look at Jeffrey Gallen.
It's just a bash.
What sort of wicketkeeper stance is that, Jeffrey?
Yeah, he's got his hands around near his plums.
On his plums.
If you're a wicketkeeper, hands down, get behind the off stump.
It is.
But that's just terrible. That's just me, isn't it?
And that's just us having a little bit of fun. I'll tell you what, too, though. Hey, the James Heard rumour's just got real, too. Two or three or four clubs are into it.
No way.
Talking about potential roles and everything. Not for this year, obviously, but for the coming year. So stay tuned on that one. But up next,
not as a head
more
coach.
About Grant Thomas's big salacious claim.
Hasn't he? Just
that St Kilda had a massive issue with illicit drugs back when he was coach. Jars
and Louis, the Rush Hour, 104.7 Triple M between 3 and 4 and 6 and 7 here on Triple M.
I had a puff of a joint at some stage, I'm sure, when I was playing footy. And so I suppose cocaine is today's marijuana back then.
That's former St Kilda coach Grant Thomas on Melbourne Radio this morning, SEN. Not backing away from the claims we played the other side of you to that. Mm-hmm. His playing group under his tenure at St Kilda, at the end of his tenure, illicit drug use was more than common. according to Tomo himself. Goes on to explain that it was a massive shock to him because obviously he prided himself on having a great relationship with the boys.
I prided myself, as you know, Tim, on how close I was and personal with every single one of the players on the list, and you could have blown me over with a feather when I found out. So I thought I knew them, but I didn't know them that well, obviously, and I didn't know that it was sort of just like, well, what's the big deal sort of thing? It happens everywhere, and that was in 2006.
So there's Tomo with Tim and Gaz.
So is he saying 80% of his group were taking illicit drugs? Well, not. Or is he saying 50%?
Well, he's not putting a number on it because people want a number.
But he did say it was rife.
He's just saying, yeah. So what he's done... He's cast a shadow on that playing group. So naturally, some of those guys that were in that playing group who do have a voice in the media, and Nick Del Santo is one of those, works at SEN, was always going to hit back. Mm. And this is what Del said.
Grant's thrown out this broad statement that it was rife in the St Kilda time. He was there for 5 years. I'm just as shocked that he's going to even suggest that it was rife within that playing group, but not follow on, because now we all get brought into it. We haven't been named. I mean, that is part of it. I don't know if Grant would ever refer to me as part of this group. He can't say my name. He can't prove it because didn't do it. So I sit here very comfortably about it.
So Nick Del Santo defending him and the playing group.
Yeah.
Here's the one with this one that I don't get. Look, and everybody remembers, or if you don't, I got caught up in this controversy back in 2001 where you suggested that it is an issue.
And you were
going
spot
to be
on.
An issue.
And you were spot on, Lou.
I just don't know... By coming out and naming and saying, oh, yeah, it was big, what are we hoping to get out of it?
Mm.
The talk was in yesterday's paper about the watchdog, about how do we fix it, how do we stop organised crime, maybe getting involved in the AFL, putting pressure on players, and this could be the leverage, the very leverage they use. Mm. Hey, you're a drug taker, I'll nominate and out you.
Mm.
All right, but I don't get how then we get to the next level that they go on a podcast and with Sam Newman and...
Mike Sheen,
and then Tomo drops that out there.
Yeah.
It's not helping anyone's
not
case.
Not at all.
You're either sitting there and going, all right, I'm having a crack at the AFL's drug policy. It's not good enough.
Which is correct.
Or you're stating and you've got some facts, well, it's actually out of control again now.
Mm.
So
it is rife.
So what are we doing about it? So because the rumours and innuendo swirl around still. Because the system is beatable. Dane Swan admitted as much in his book.
He did too.
You know, you've got...
You can get away with it.
You know, Kane Corns, the 5-minute fire, he's whacked at Mummy. He's been pinged on it on video and got a couple of games.
Yep.
You know, so I don't get why we keep going in swings and roundabouts. The current rule sits under the transition system when we went from the so-called three strikes to the two strikes.
Yeah.
All right, that you get... You're done and dusted. $5,000 fine, first strike, counselling, and target testing.
Okay.
Strike two's when your name comes out now, not strike three.
Yep.
All right. And you get a 4-game suspension, your club gets notified. So that's when you're
hot. Is that the second strike?
Yeah. And strike three is the 12-match ban.
But we're only going with two strikes now, aren't we?
Yeah, but the policy is just all over the shop.
It's flawed, Lou.
Yeah.
It's flawed.
And as I said earlier, Carrie Wilson's now stating that several clubs.
Yep.
Are getting a little bit sick of players coming in and say, look, I made a mistake on the weekend, I'm not feeling great, and using the mental health card.
Yeah.
So just in case they get tested and test positive, so when that first one comes out, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
So I don't quite understand what we're trying to achieve with it all.
How are we going to eradicate it, though, Lee?
Well, the question is, are we winning that battle away from the footy fields?
I'd say certainly not.
I'd say no. Read your advertiser today about meth and everything else that is going on and the increase in use in our great state. All right, so you go, well, how do you win it? AFL players, more disciplined, more whatever else, paid more money, everything else, but also roll around in circles where that stuff is potentially more prevalent.
Mm.
So you're always going to be at risk.
Mm.
Are we overs and above? Yeah, they are. The AFL love to trot this line out. Hey, we do more than asked by WADA.
Mm.
We go over because we test for illicit, not performance
but
enhancing.
It hasn't stopped it.
But what are we trying to achieve?
Mm.
The clubs want it themselves.
Yeah.
Eddie McGuire said so. Port Adelaide, Koshy have said so.
Yeah.
We want to be able to do our own testing.
Our own.
Because we're about the moral fibre of the boys who play for us. I like the idea of the club getting
taking
hold
control.
Of it. Because at the end of the day, it's like, your issue.
Mm.
And then if anyone steps out of line, the AFL then can come over the top and whack the club and the player.
Because
they can say to the club, you've had your chance to get him right, and he hasn't. He continually tests positive.
He'll find a way.
The jury needs to come back in on whether they're going, well, are they doing it to be performance enhancing? Well, one would argue that Collingwood Sam Murray, who got done midweek, which tested on game day, which is a rarity, right, in AFL testing systems, that he may have been going down that path. But history tells us no one's been doing it to get a kick out of it. People like to cite Ben Cousins as the poster boy that had helped him because he was able to ramp up his training and so on and so on. But until you can sit down and give me the scientific proof of all that, and we know that, and we're going to use it as that, it's not going to work, Jar. We're going to go around and chase our tail up.
Well, that's what they're doing now, Luke. That's what they're doing now.
And the Olympic athletes will sit back and go, I don't know what you're doing, you lot.
Yeah.
We get a minimum two, if not maximum 4 years, if we test positive to ban substance. Mm. So, and the AFL then go back, yeah, but hey, we're actually doing over and above.
Can I say this? Not every player's doing it.
No.
We're talking a small amount of players.
You wouldn't know. Luke. You wouldn't know.
But please,
but don't be naive.
Understand that.
Because the system has got holes in it.
But
that's the thing. The system's got holes.
But big holes. But I would say 90% of these players do the right thing. Or am I a little bit naive?
I've learnt never to put a figure on how much people are taking drugs because you'll get whacked from pillar to post.
Yeah, well.
But the main thing is, give the power back to the club.
Mm.
They're in charge of the individual. Mum and dad hand you over to that club and they trust you to do the right thing. And if I can't do those things like any other workplace, well, then you're not helping me get you to be a better man or a better woman or a better girl or whatever.
Imagine this is the moment your life changes forever. The moment you become Adelaide's newest millionaire.
$1 million.
Triple M's Millionaire Listener. Listen to Ruin Dits in the morning. Win the cash. Write your name on the $1 million check while you work.
Thanks to our mates Automasters, get a free return Uber to home or work with car servicing and repairs. Call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS. T's and C's apply.
How do you spell millionaire? With a Triple M.
Jason Louis, it's the rush hour for Slidefix. They're the only authorised installer of the Miracle Stainless Steel cover tracks into the South Australian market.
Wow.
Cop that.
Andrew Jarman, gun for hire.
Redemption.
Shooting blanks at your cricket club soon.
Wild West!
Peninsula Pirates is the team, and get yourself along. Oh, I cannot wait. Jubilee Reserve Westlake Shore this Saturday, 1 p.m. 12:30 report time if you want to feel a real part of the team. Yeah. That's where it's at, Juice. How is the prep, the training going for the sequel, Gun for Hire?
Okay, Redemption. Day three. Redemption. Day three, Ocean Swim. Just went in there for about 15-20 minutes, just to, you know, earth and just get the back right, because there's no doubt I'm going to be bowling a fair bit.
Any visualisation out there?
Absolutely. Well, you notice I've got a cricket ball in my hand right now, family.
Tuning yourself in.
Pilates.
Yeah.
This morning. I went down and did
proper
another.
Pilates?
I skipped a couple.
Yeah, that's all right.
Net session again. All right, eight overs.
Well, this
now,
time
Monday I did
up.
Six. Mm. All right, so today I did eight. And
see, Adelaide, that's the only ramping we want to hear about, ramping up your over rate.
There you go. As you know, diet overhaul.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it firsthand.
You know, rocked up last night, Maz has made all these rolls. I've had to pull some stuff out.
Double take in the sheds today.
And there was a packet of chips there with my rolls. Yeah, no. They went. Sorry, Maz.
I saw you blow straight past Freddie today down at Canada.
And you know what I'm like down there.
Yeah, cheers.
So, and then just to top it off,
just
put an old video on.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right. Because nothing builds up the confidence than going
back. So I sat there with gloves on, bat, that's all.
Like you're in the sheds.
And my shorts, like top off. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, as you do, which you normally do when he goes to bat. And hat on.
Yeah, that's day three of getting ready for Saturday, because this means a lot to me, Saturday, and to the team.
Well, it certainly does because, I mean, we've hitched our wagon again to it, hoping to get something out of it. Let's hope we get more than we got from your go-kart win. Did you watch the news and see the papers?
Not at all. I don't read.
It's just photos of Frosty.
What?
And
Chaz.
Yeah. You're not anywhere to be found.
But I won it. I won the race against those two bozos. Yeah,
Sodas clipped you last night.
Sodas, did he?
Said you'd be still.
He didn't have the courage to drive.
Yeah, that'd be the same bloke that's going around in a Ferris wheel for 3 days.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
You know?
So that's,
Mate, you didn't even make the photos.
Not even in the paper. You're kidding me.
Everywhere I've looked.
So Eddie Betts gets one holding a cricket bat and.
Yeah, and.
Takes some sort of.
Look at that. On page in the advertiser 65, Frosty Fresh.
No way.
Picture of Chazzy and Frosty ahead of the Superloop 500.
They're both disqualified. They're both fugging us drivers, us go-kart drivers, showing off.
Yeah, they got DQs and you're on the podium.
And I'm there next to a couple of other flogs.
Where does that get?
I mean, I got a trophy, a bottle of wine.
I mean, one minute you're skydiving, next minute you're riding a bull named Fu Manchu. Who knows what's going on with you? Now, then you're doing gun for hire, of course. Jubilee. Get it. Put it in your diaries right now. Jubilee right Reserve, Westlake Shore.
This guy.
Playing for the Peninsula Pirates, all right? 1 o'clock this Saturday. Triple M down there. We're doing the whole lot.
We're going berserk.
We've got the Barbie on. It's all on.
That's it.
Get down there. Support Jar. Nah. See if we can't get him in go. What were they yelling out at Adelaide United the other night?
He's the fat bastard.
Who ate all the pies?
Nah.
You fat bastard.
1-3-3.
Come on.
1-3-3-5-3. $1,000 on the line right now for the quiz, but no name.
Yeah.
Triple M. $1,000 every weekday with Jars and Louie just after 3 p.m.
10
The Rush Hour's quiz with no name.
Love it when we give away the cash jars. $1,000 up for grabs. 10 questions, 60 seconds, one free hit. That's the Automasters lifeline. It just is the best minute rate going around,
I reckon,
almost, in Adelaide. Who is lucky enough to be joining us today to play for the cash?
Chris from Windvale. G'day, Chris.
How you going, Jars?
Very well, mate. Had a good day?
Yeah, not bad.
All right, mate. You got an... Sorry, I cut you short. Go on.
Yeah, just enjoying the day off.
Nice day off. Chance to have read the paper, probably be across a few things. I'm expecting good things. You haven't?
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. Okay. All right. Anyway, here's Jar, Automasters Lifeline in your skyrocket. Time starts at the end of your first question. Good luck. Thanks, Louis.
Who is Daniel Ricciardo racing for this year?
Pass.
Name one AFLX team.
Thank you.
Name the AFL team. Hang on.
That's almost worth
just
it.
Hang on. Let me get through this one.
Come on.
Name the AFL team Jared Lyon now plays for.
Melbourne.
All right, see ya.
See ya, Chris.
Sorry, mate.
See ya, lovey.
He doesn't even get the booby prize. Nah. That's 2 days in a row. Anyone who does know what's just happened there, if you miss the first three, it's game over. We back the truck
they're
up. Because for the
rules.
Listening audience and the family playing along at home, that's unfair. And it's almost
Is
like,
that back-to-back?
Yeah. Do you know what we need?
Who's screening these?
What about a backup caller?
I can't believe, I can't believe I'm going to suggest this. And thanks for ruining my surprise.
Oh, sorry.
We should bring back in the sub.
You want to go
AFL
the sub?
The AFL took it out, but we should have a sub. Given the talent
Let's have
that's
a chat about it overnight.
Because if we had a sub, we could have just called for the sub straight in, pick it up again, go.
Chris from Windvale.
No.
Pass.
Done. I mean, he's day off too, so he's in a relaxed mode.
And he didn't read the paper. That's where I get all the questions
the
from.
Key. That's the key to play this.
I mean, the key is just be across your
How many will we shut down this year?
This year? Yeah. It's almost double
I'm
figures.
I'm telling you.
Yeah? It's almost time for a T-shirt.
Talk about rife.
It? It's almost a T-shirt. Yeah, it is rife.
Becoming rife.
All right.
Okay, Sean.
All right. We're getting a wind up. We need to talk some footy. Coming up next on The Rush Hour.
The Rush Hour. You can hear it between 3 and 4 and 6 and 7 on Triple M.
AFLX, Jars, Friday night. The big game. Teams will be confirmed tonight. I think around about 6:30, 7 hour time, right?
Okay.
But the big names keep dropping out. I'm telling you, the X in AFLX started to stand for absent.
Yeah, I agree.
Just
and there'll be a few more by tonight and tomorrow.
So Hawthorne's duo of Luke Bruce and Isaac Smith,
they're out
because Hawthorne have to give them their second 4-day break. And they haven't had that yet. And they've got to play an internal trial on the Thursday night, which now rules them ineligible for the Mickey Mouse X.
So they're
on
out.
The Friday night. So they're not going to Marvel
they're
Stadium.
They're not coming.
And now, big name as well again, Melbourne's Tom McDonald. He's out.
He's pulled out.
It's like
he's sore.
Everybody full support.
I'm telling
of the,
you.
It's almost full support of the board, isn't it?
Yeah, we're in.
Until it
we're
gets
in.
Real close. And it's like that, I'll do that. Oh, I don't want to do that, do I?
No.
So anyway, that's just a couple more of the big names. But like you said, fingers crossed it actually works. So it gives the kids and everybody something
that's
to
it. It's
look,
just
and
for
look
the kids.
At. And we get some decent stuff out of it.
Should be playing State of Origin instead. Anyway.
Justin Westhoff.
Yeah, what's he saying?
He's been on the old people's station, one of them. There's two now. Just a great little Hoff drive by. A few words.
Yeah,
but just
they're
talking
the dangerous
about
ones.
This year's Port Adelaide versus last year's Port Adelaide. And I'll just preface this by saying three individuals have left Port Adelaide.
Oh, dear.
Jasper Pittard.
Keep going. Wingard.
Chetty Wingard and Jared Pollock. Mm. This is what Hoff had to say.
Looking back on our list, I think we stand to be, I think, better off with what we have now than what we had before. I think the guys that we've got on board, you know, at the back end of last year, I think just has consolidated our group.
Better off what we have now than not what we had before last year.
It's almost like Kenny's, if you always do what you always done, you always get what you always got.
There you go,
but
Kenny.
Not quite as eloquent. Mm. Yeah. Jack Watt's been playing on a wing too in a lot of the trials.
Yeah, but
up
didn't
a bit
he
higher.
Play there a couple of roles there, games last
tried
year?
Tried a couple of tried. Times and tried to use him to slide in behind
where
him on
is
the
his
fat
best
side.
Spot?
Don't know where that's
I'm
at.
With you.
All right. And Scott Camperali, speaking of football and the Adelaide Crows. So, Chockers forward line, we know that.
She's don't, busy.
The Senator's son, John Fogarty.
Yeah.
Where, Darcy, of course, everybody. Darcy. Where Foggy's going to play, being trialled in a different spot, because I'm pretty sure they like what they see.
Yeah.
Because he's got good natural aggression. But how do you squeeze him in alongside the Texan, JJ, and Tommy Lynch?
And
then Eduardo Barron. And Co are on the ground.
Yeah,
right?
The mosquito
so
fleet.
Campo explains what they've been trying to do in the preseason with the Fog.
We've had a look at him forward, and we'll have a look at him back over the next 2 or 3 weeks as well. So he's played back. He played back in the under-18s. He has got flexibility to play both ends of the ground, and he's such a smart footy person that would be silly not to try and get him in the team.
There is Scott Camperali, assistant coach to the Adelaide Crows, and it's also good for another reason, Jar, because...
Well, young Daniel Talia is recovering from surgery, and also Hardigan has been out with,
Interrupted
a long-term
summers.
Injury. Mm. So there's two key defenders. And
well, they need height.
Foggs can slot into a centre half back.
Absolutely.
He's a lovely young man. Seen him down at Henley Oval, been training.
Yep.
Looks in good nick, Lulu. Looks in reasonable nick for the young man.
Trimmed up, second summer in, always gets you looking a little
that
bit...
That little puppy little fat
bit,
that
starts
lurks.
To go away. The old tree trunks are probably a tad finer.
They are too.
Bit square
bit
up
of shape.
Top. Speaking of fine
yes,
and trimming down and probably giving up the electric circus or wherever it was... Sammy Pell Pepper has lost 5 kilos and in ripping nick. We spoke about his performance the other day.
Yeah.
They've been talking about it now. 5 kilos and off the back of just a quick little exit meeting with Kenny suggesting, mate, might want to drop some kegs.
That's it.
And then come back
Don't
and be
up.
In some order because we're going to need you to gut run more often because it's the one thing
because
he's very good at what he does, but he
collision
doesn't have the ability. Yeah, he's got to be able to cover the ground better.
And use the football a bit better, Lou.
So what That's I've all. Done, and I hope you don't mind,
no, go for it,
on behalf of the Triple M family and the audience, I've organised you a 5-minute exit meeting with Ken Hinckley about dropping 5 kicks and being able to do repeat efforts on the rush hour for 60 minutes.
Triple M's Rush Hour with Charles and Louis, Andrew Jarman, Dale Lewis on Triple M.
Former St Kilda coach Grant Thomas has stirred things up in Melbourne on his podcast. He said back in the day when he coached the Saints 2001 through to 2006, he was told not long after he was relieved of the job that illicit drug use was rife amongst his playing group. Then added this morning on SEN.
I had a puff of a joint at some stage, I'm sure, when I was playing footy. And so I suppose cocaine is today's marijuana back then.
Well, to get his thoughts on what Grant has had to say, it's the CEO of the AFLPA, Paul Marsh. Marshy, welcome to the Rush Hour.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Marshy.
Help or hindrance, especially off the back of the watchdog stuff yesterday, suggesting they want players to help, you know, give intel to be able to break into the arena of organised crime if it is indeed knocking on the door of the AFL. So, Grant Thomas, does that help or does it hinder?
Oh, look, I don't think it does either, to be honest. I mean, we obviously have a far greater knowledge of what's going on in our industry than what Grant does, and it'd be fair to say that our knowledge and experience around this issue is not consistent with Grant's view. I don't know where he's... You know, I'd suggest those numbers are just made up, and it's not the case what he's put forward. I would say that we know that illicit drugs are an issue in society, and particularly the age group that our players fall within. So it's not... I'm not going to sit here and say that we don't have some players using illicit drugs, but the sort of numbers that Grant was talking about were just are ridiculously overblown.
Marshy, what about the idea, and it's been called on by a couple of clubs in the past, of letting them take control as opposed to the alignment with ASADA and WADA? What's your thoughts on the clubs looking at for the individual? Because in theory, the clubs have the responsibility to look after their talent.
Yeah, I think you'd be really clear here. This is not an ASADA or a WADA issue. I mean, ASADA, and let's just call it the WADA. The WADA code is there to look after performance-enhancing drugs. What we're talking about here
is illicit drugs. And WADA and ASADA have absolutely nothing to do with this. This is a policy that's been agreed to between the AFL Players Association on behalf of the players and the AFL on behalf of the AFL and the clubs. And it is, at its core, it's a medical model. So what we're trying to do here is identify players that may be using illicit drugs, in particular having issues with illicit drugs, and then help them. And if we weren't doing that, then this is not a policy that the players would be party to. Most employees don't, aren't subject to drug testing on the job. It's just not part of, you know, you guys don't have to do that. I don't have to do that as part of my work. So the reason we've agreed to this is because we want to identify players and then help them. And it's been successful. It's been in place now for 8 years. And we know we've had a lot of success stories come through this policy.
So, Paul, sorry to interrupt because we're going to run out of time a bit, but do you reckon the public's educated enough in that thought process you just explained?
Oh, look, maybe not. I mean, often people don't necessarily want to hear the detail behind all of this. It's something that we've certainly spoken about a number of times publicly. And we're dealing with an issue here that our society is failing with. It's a very complex issue, and we're seeing drug use in our society go up every year. What we're doing here within the AFL community is we've got a really sophisticated policy for a very complex issue, and we are having some wins, but this is never going away. We're going to continue to have these issues for the rest of my time here, for the rest of the time that you guys are involved in footy. What we can do is keep trying to identify players and help them. And as I said, we are doing that. We're having some good success stories. But as I said, it's a very complex issue.
Mate, just quickly, are you happy with the guys that still committed to AFLX? We've just seen a few more dropouts come our way. Do you feel the clubs are committed?
Look, it's a difficult one. I think the industry is committed, but it's on the eve of the season. Naturally, they'd have some concerns around potential injuries. There's still a very good lineup of players that'll be playing. So I think, you know, we should all get behind it and let's see what comes of it.
Beautiful, mate. Thanks for clearing that one up. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys. See
you. AFLPA, CEO Paul Marsh there. And
they're backing it in, Lou.
It's not about it being a drug cheat. It's about an issue. And I think the general public sort of we get caught up in it.
We do, and he's disappointed. He's disappointed with Tomo's comments.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very. Anyway,
because it reignites a debate. Like I said, that Nick Del Santo's had to come out now and defend himself as a player of that era.
Well done.
Anyway, we're done and dusted. Have yourselves a great Wednesday night.
Charles and Louis, it's the Rush Hour. Andrew Jarman and Dale Lewis on 104.7 Triple M.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
No, what's happened today? Saying.
Oh well, you know,
this is good.
Stuff at home, all right. Look, everyone knows we've got three kids, so girl, boy, girl. I'm not going to identify which one, but you'll work it out by the end of it, by the time I use two examples out of the three.
Right.
All right.
What's happened?
It would appear one of them's just pulled the wool over mum's eyes and got themselves a pupil-free day.
No.
When it wasn't required. Pulled a sickie.
And
under the age of 10.
Oh, dear.
All right. So this is where now I need to ask the question, proud or angry? As a parent, okay? So because I'm going to just tell you this off the top. He's a year ahead of schedule of me pulling a similar stunt of missing school.
For me, it's a golf clap.
Oh, well,
that's
what
proud.
I got. Yeah, it's what I gave out.
You know.
All right.
The little man.
So, and the beauty of it was, and you've guessed it, the little man.
he gave it away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He played a long game.
He's been
At this age is amazing. Mm. So on the Sunday, it said, you know, my stomach hurts a little bit.
Then
there was a bit of a chat in bed. What happens if I was to sleep in all morning, Dad? And I said, oh, look, I'd pick you up in your jammies and take you to school.
That's it, yeah.
He goes, but I wouldn't be awake. I said, I wouldn't care. I'd just plonk you down in your
and
chair
see you later.
And leave you in there with in all your classmates in your jammies.
Yeah.
He goes, would you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So sure enough, rolls down next morning. I'd forgotten this conversation. I'd been out walking the dog, doing what you do, preparing for another award-winning show of the Rush Hour. And his mum goes, oh, he's not going to school today. He's feeling sick.
Wow.
So anyway, your
reaction would have been.
So at this point in time, I'm not even thinking of the conversation from the night before or the setting up of what is a great sting. I mean, Robert Redford, really.
Absolutely.
So I go through the day and I go to work and then I get home and Ange goes, I need to tell you something.
Oh, this is good.
She goes, and this is just between us, which has since come out in family discussion.
Right.
He goes, you know, he wasn't sick. He just wanted a day at home watching movies on Stan and Netflix.
He's Netflixing and
chilling. And he's not even 10.
You know.
He's
the artful dodger.
He is. He's the loophole king in our house.
But you must have been proud.
Awfully. Chest out.
But he got mother.
Yeah.
Oh, that wouldn't have been easy.
Stone Cold.
Yeah,
that's her nickname.
Stone Cold Ange.
Stone Cold Ange.
Should have been flat.
Oh, absolutely. So we're laughing
that's
about
beautiful.
It. Which is all well and good. Yeah. And then, so yeah. Then I roll out of bed this morning.
Right you are.
All right. And there's another one of the three.
Yeah.
Let's just say she might have started kindy. All right. And she's lying in bed.
Oh, no.
I didn't even see her because it looks like she's made her bed.
Yeah.
And she's hiding in under the pillows that has been made. And I've gone,
yeah.
I said, where is she?
Where's
and then I went back out and I finally realised she's still in bed. And I said, Colin, you got to go to kindy. Yeah. She goes, I don't want to go.
He's
big
he's,
bro.
He set
the precedent.
He has two.
And it's already so.
And you got one left.
Now I feel like crap because I was proud.
Yeah.
Instead of angry.
Yeah.
She now thinks it's totally acceptable to be chucking a sickie. And she's not even five.
Did Ange go out in the backyard with a glass of wine, just kicking the tree stump?
Well, I said to her, I said, go and see your neighbour and have a vino and have a good hard look at
I've
yourself.
I've been done.
We've been doing
by
over.
The 10-year-old.
I mean, if any of this gets back
this
to
is good.
Either of these schooling precincts. And docs, please don't call me because I had nothing to do with it, all right? It's just simple, harmless fun. Yeah. In fact, it's a made-up story.
It's the Rush Hour, Charles and Louis on Triple M.